It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air, and we have both David and Marcy. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You don't have much of me, actually. I was up till 3:30 last night doing my taxes.
Oh, that'll help.
My accountant read me the Riot Act. You know, it's April 10th, and I haven't sent anything in yet.
Yeah,
so.
That's if I were an accountant, I would probably be shrying as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I just gave up. I just gave up, Marcy. I do a standard form. I don't take any deductions, and I just send it in. And if I owe, I owe. And if I don't owe, I don't owe. I just don't worry about it.
You know, all morning I've been saying to Marshall, yes, Marshall, I know that's how you do things. Other people don't necessarily do it that way.
I just don't.
And he's just surprised that everybody else doesn't live their life the way he does.
I got audited. I got audited once, and I said to myself at that point, I'm just never going to do it again that way.
Right.
Let the government keep my money.
What your time is worth and how many hours it takes to do it, you know, and what that costs.
No, quite right. But I think what somebody once said, a good friend of Marshall's once said, that he is the king of the, what is it, the barter society? You know, Marshall
lives
on a
cashless society.
That's it. So you can imagine how that works for things like rent.
Yeah, right. I can imagine how that works for the government.
So I wouldn't necessarily take his guidance.
I am a modern version of hobo. It's just called a cashless society. All right. Let us start off with your first story. And this is the White Hart North in Great Barrington.
Yeah. Well, this is Connecticut moving into Massachusetts.
Could be dangerous.
Could be dangerous. Well, we have a new construction, one of several, but there is a construction project at the top of our railroad street in Great Barrington that is just about finishing. It's got rental apartments, not condos, but rental apartments, and retail on the ground floor and room for a restaurant. And so they have persuaded Annie Waite of the White Hart Inn to come and open a restaurant in Great Barrington. Is David on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
We thought maybe he's taking the day off here, Marcy. He's not participating.
No, I'm just listening and
learning.
That's right. It's the way to
do it. Anyway, apparently it took a little persuasion. She wasn't really interested in starting another restaurant, but she has agreed. And so this is going to be great for Great Barrington to have another terrific restaurant. It's going to be called The Fox, either The Fox or Fox. It's going to be a combination of a store and a takeout and a restaurant. So it's going to be very European, she says. And I'm sure you people are from Salisbury, so you must know the White Hart Inn.
Oh, we know the White Hart very well.
Yeah,
and their
right.
provisions and everything like that. And I think it's smart. I really do.
Yeah, for them, and it'll be nice for us. I mean, we do have some wonderful restaurants in Great Barrington, but I think there's always room for another one.
I was going to say, one can never have too many good restaurants.
No, it's true. It's true. Listen, that's the way we feel. I don't know how the restaurateurs feel, but most of them manage to stay alive during the winter. And then, of course, you know, they're very busy in the summer. But now we have so much more of a winter population here than we did before. Berkshire attractions are becoming year-round. Jacob's Pillow is adding a year-round dimension. Tanglewood is adding a year-round dimension. So, you know, and then the theaters now are producing plays all year long. So we really are becoming much more of a 12-month-of-the-year economy than we had been in the past.
All right, let's move on to story number two, budget cuts. The Great Barrington Select Board chose libraries?
David.
they did. For some reason, they got on their high horse and wanted to cut a few thousand dollars out of the libraries and made a big point of that, much to the distress of the one of the selectmen, of course, is Ed Abrams, is on the chair of the library trustees, So he's not very happy about this. But it just seems petty to a lot of people. But that's what happens during the frenzy of butter. What they're worried about is, you know, the town budget is relatively stable and goes up very little. But they're worried about what the impact of the school budget, which is always a problem with our regional school district, that it increases in the school budget somewhat devastating. And Great Barrington, as the largest town in the regional district, has to pay the lion's share of it. So I think that's what they're anticipating, is they're attempting to be, appear frugal in contrast to the school budget. And unfortunately, they're picking on the libraries, which seems counterproductive to me. But, hey, I'm not a selectman.
That's amazing. It's just amazing. I mean, libraries have really, with the technology that has evolved, become important centers in the communities.
Well, they are. And, we have very lively libraries here.
And there are places where, you know, people who need access, both students and adults who need access to the Internet, can get it for free right there. And it's high-speed connection, and it's... it's a real resource for the community, both in the center of Great Barrington, and there's an ancillary library in Housatonic, which is the people in Housatonic really adore their little library, and it is quite cozy and lovely. So this doesn't seem to be the place where this doesn't seem to be an excessive expenditure, but hey.
Well, and actually, we have a very lively set of comments after this article. And
yeah.
The same Ed Abrams says, the cuts to the library budget will save the owner of a median-priced home $1.93 per year. One paperback book costs $10 to $15 if you can't find it at the library.
Yeah, amazing.
So,
it's amazing. What we'll see, is it Pennywise and Pound Foolish?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's move on to story number three, and that's a challenger in the Democratic primary.
This is kind of interesting. A Springfield attorney is challenging Richie Neal, who was our congressman, long-time congressman. She's an attorney from Springfield herself, and she's challenging him on the very point that many people in the Berkshires feel uncomfortable with Richie Neal about, that he's too cozy with some of his donors and his corporate donors, and he's not as progressive as the Berkshires would like him to be. So she had an audience that was enthusiastically endorsing her criticism of Neal, but whether or not she has a chance in hell of beating him, that's another question.
Well, David is being very PC, but we should mention that this woman is not only an attorney and a woman, but she's also a Muslim. And
yeah.
She appears in her headscarf. And it's going to be very interesting to see, what kind of a response she gets.
You know, I sit here, and Joe and I talk about this all the time. The Democratic Party, the regulars right now that are in control, are afraid to let progressives blend into the party. And progressives are upset that they are not allowed to blend into the party. And this is creating a big problem for them for the upcoming midterm elections. The Democrats tend to eat their own, and they've got to stop it if they want to get back in control.
Well, yes, and
don't you think Democrats always find a way of shooting themselves in the foot? I mean, they just do.
Absolutely. Both factions should be able to exist within the what used to be the huge tent of the Democratic Party.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is
in the year when so many people would like to take back the House and the Senate, it's not a year to divide the party. But
it's happening.
It's happening, right.
Yeah. All right. What's going on to something better than that? And that is a columnist, Carol Owens, this is great, about a meeting back in Sheffield in 1773.
Yeah, three years before the Declaration of Independence was published.
Yeah. Eleven men got together in Sheffield, just north of Salisbury. Or what would become Salisbury, and they wrote a declaration against British tyranny, and it was called The Resolves. believe it or not, in reading it, you would think, oh, this is just the first draft of the Declaration of Independence. It's so close maybe not quite as elegantly expressed, but all exactly the same point.
No, and it is interesting. I mean, either these ideas were in the air, they were the precursor to the Declaration. Were there people, David? I can't remember. Were there people from Sheffield who were at the
Yes, there were.
The Continental Congress.
Frederick and John Fellows were both in Philadelphia. All I can say is it happened in here in the Berkshires first, you know?
And I think
once again, we're leading the nation.
Right, and it's pretty cool, and I don't know. I would be interested. Have people gotten any better, going back to the earlier conversation with Marshall, people gotten any better at taking their wonderfully original ideas and projecting them onto a larger stage?
I don't know, but I love history.
Apparently, this is since they took these resolves to the Declaration, to the
Continental Congress. Yeah, no, that's great.
When you talk about history in this area and you think about something like this, I go back and I get the hair goes up on my arms.
You
I go back
goosebumps. And it's when, only when 300
think,
years ago.
When I think about that, and then I go back farther than that. When you think of when you watch Last of Mohicans or you read The Last of the Mohicans, folks, that took place right next door. I mean, the history that we have around us is absolutely scary.
And with all due respect, the blockishness that most people of a younger type feel, I mean, younger persuasion, that, you know, about that, you know, it's sort of, sorry to use this word, it's sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, they should teach civics and history, local history, in the schools, I think.
You think?
Back again. I think
right. Oh, no, we don't do that anymore.
You know, when you read books like Last of the Mohican, and then you, as a teacher, you transfer it to be a local subject. It's amazing.
That is the way to connect and create interest and passion. I'm sorry.
Right.
And that goes back to our library story. Board of Selectmen.
let me add
just
one other thing.
Before we leave this topic, though, for those who are interested in this history, Carol Owens is going to be speaking this Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. at Dewey Hall, which is in downtown Sheffield. And her talk is being presented by the Sheffield Historical Society, and it's free and open to the public. And, we know Carol very well. She does a weekly piece for us, and she's very bright and very lively. And I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting talk. So, you can find out more about it at the Berkshire Edge, and especially the Berkshire Edge calendar.
All right.
Well, okay. we can what? Stop this, but I was going to add something to this little discussion.
You can add. Add.
Well, I'm going to. Colonel Ashley, by the way, became he was he had a at this time of in the Berkshires there were slave owners, and one of his so-called slaves was a woman named Mom Bet, and she overheard their discussion about freedom. And so she protested and said, well, what about me? And as a result, one of the participants in that overhearing that heard a plea was someone on the Supreme appeal to the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts. And we were the first to declare an end to slavery long before the United States long before the Civil War.
Damn,
so
Massachusetts.
Mombette was a real leader, and so was Massachusetts. So this group that met to write the declaration, our resolves, had an even wider effect than just the Declaration of Independence.
You guys have always been damn liberals up there in Massachusetts.
you guys have any view about the driving skills going?
We have to move on, actually. We want to go on to some good news out of Tanglewood. Another addition to the lineup.
Yeah, well, you know, Tanglewood is, find it at the Berkshire Edge calendar, but Tanglewood is really introducing an exciting lineup of contemporary artists. They've just added Harry Connick Jr. to their lineup, and he will be coming to the Shed at Tanglewood on June 23rd. And if you look at the article on the Edge, we have embedded a video of him performing in New Orleans, and it's embedded in the story. So you can, if you don't know who Harry Connick Jr. is, you can be introduced through the Berkshire Edge.
All right, let us go on right now to a brisk. Yeah, it's been, they're all the mornings have been brisk.
Yeah.
The running for at the Berkshire South Regional Community Center.
Well, this is wonderful. David and I were there not to run but to cover it. But this was a fundraiser for the Berkshire South Regional Community Center, and they had a run walk. Which started off at the Great Barrington Airport on Sunday, and there were about 80 runners, and it was a 5K race. Those of us who were waiting for them to come in were freezing, but they were very warm, running very quickly. But it was great. There was such a wonderful spirit. Nobody was really running to win. People, although there were winners, but people were really participating for a good cause, and it was a great sense of community. There were two or three pretty fast runners, but the rest of the winners were not so fast.
That's right.
But it really didn't matter because everybody was having a great time, and the race didn't last very long. You know, the winners came in less than 24 minutes. So no sooner had they taken off, but the race was over, which is perfect on a cold day.
All right, and we can't leave without talking about your ongoing serial, ninth chapter of that serial.
Right.
We have our serial novel that appears every week, or most every week. It's called Over the Edge, and we have different writers doing different chapters, so you never know where the story is going to go.
So, and it really is going.
It's going
all over the place. It's so much fun.
To South America, well, Central America. It went from Fuel Coffee House in Great Barrington and Simon's Rock College to Panama. And now it's come back. But the intrigue has come back to Great Barrington. But there is now a plot to, it appears, to one of the characters who happens to be a barista in the Fuel coffee shop, is now in turns out to be a double agent, and his life is in danger. Let's leave it at that.
So now
it, you know what it sounds something like what Robert Mueller is is uncovering with the his special investigation. You know, I expect any minute to have Trump tweet in complaining about our novel. You know, it just you never know.
You wish, because it'll make it it'll really.
Well, he doesn't have time because he's involved in a tweet storm now with Vladimir Putin, and he's got to figure out who he's going to hire and fire. So he's a little busy.
He can't get himself another lawyer either.
But what I'm saying is, it would be probably really good for the serialization.
Oh boy, it goes through the roof.
Well, you do know. I think we talked about it last week that Wilbur Mills, Wilbur Ross.
Now you're showing your age with Wilbur Mills.
That's the only Wilbur that I really knew.
Oh, come on. You never saw TV, huh? Oh, that's right. We already know that.
Anyway, he bought a house in Great Barrington. Yeah.
Yes. And it did.
So a $3.2 million house.
From a liberal. From a liberal.
Oh, my gosh. Which just goes to show you, money talks. All right.
Money talks. So who knows? We may be experiencing a Trump invasion right here in the Berkshires.
Swallow doth not a summer make.
I think the Berkshires will find a way to repel it.
or rewrite the resolve.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
No, we're going to absorb them.
That's right. Change them, that's right. All right, guys.
Good luck with that.
That is just a portion of what you'll find at theberkshireage.com. And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Yes.
All right, take care.
Okay, have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio, and you can find them at theberkshireedge.com.